RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Back in 2025, the Wilms Report, Tim Wilms from the Unshackled.net in Melbourne. Good to see you in 25. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Paul. Great to be back and see you again. Looking forward to RCR 2.0.
Yep, here we are for the first Wilms Report of RCR 2.0, and I've been looking forward to catching up because I'm trying to think where we left it off last year, and we'll get to some of those, but something that we've been talking about just in the last week or so, and that is the pause on puberty blockers, I think, in Queensland. Is that correct?
Yes. So the new Liberal National Party and Premier David Crisafulli, they had a bit of a disappointing start with Crisafulli gagging the parliament from even discussing changing the state's abortion up until birth laws. And in its adult time law, there was a loophole where they forgot to include attempted murder because there was a 13-year-old who allegedly stabbed a Coles duty manager using a knife from the store. And so they've been withdrawn from Coles stores nationwide. So obviously they didn't get that 100% right in the first go. But in the past week, Tim Nicholls, the Queensland Health Minister, announced an immediate pause on the issuing of new puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones to those under the age of 18 after it was revealed that the Cairns Sexual Health Service delivered an apparently unauthorised paediatric gender service without an agreed model of care to 42 patients, including issuing puberty blockers to a 12-year-old without parents' consent.
So are we talking about new prescriptions or all prescriptions that are current or just legacy prescriptions?
It's not retrospective. So those who have already been issued puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones are going to be allowed to continue. So it's a one-year pause while this review into, because they describe the trans activists lobby, they've captured all the medical establishment and the lobby groups. They say that we have the best practices. I listened to one of the interviews with one of the representatives from AusPath, so that's the local WPath, and always talking about taking a holistic, individualized, a cross-section of experts, so makes it sound impressive. But
we've heard it all before.
Allegedly what's happened here, they're not even following their own lax rules.
Yeah, well, is there any debate around informed consent? Because there is no data on this. It's prescribe and hope. So the fundamental principle of informed consent clearly isn't being met. Is there any talk around that?
Well, there certainly should be.
Well, we should have learned something from COVID.
Here in Victoria, the Department of Education policy that they're allowed to trans your child without your knowledge.
Yeah. Now, it's more referring to the actual hormone treatments, the medicines, you know, but interesting. So this is a pause, but it probably will become permanent, won't it? I mean, in the light of Trump and people now feeling a little more confident about expressing their intense opposition to this.
You might think so, but late last Friday afternoon, the Federal Health Minister, Mark Butler, announced that there would be a federal review. He termed it a comprehensive review into the Australian Standards of Care and Treatment Guidelines for Trans and Gender Diverse Children and Adolescents.
Adolescents, yep.
And his task, I'd never heard of this body before, so I'm not sure if we're actually getting value for money here. The National Health and Medical Research Council of Australia, so they will be tasked with developing new national guidelines. And Mark Butler's assistant, Jed Carney, put out a video on social media where she had a rainbow flag behind her saying that this was about improving their world-class standard of care. I'm paraphrasing. So basically, she was communicating that, look, we're actually wanting to make the process to put young people on puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. We're wanting to basically make sure that, oh, it can continue with this review because there's no federal pause. Yeah, Mark Butler, he actually tried to say to Tim Nicholls, the Queensland Health Minister, look, don't do your state inquiry now because we're going to do it. And they won't have an interim report until mid-2026. So it's basically kicking the can down the road, deferring, and it seems like it's already basically a stitch up because he's also going to call on organisations such as AusPath and activists to give their view. We don't know whether we'll speak to detransitioners. There was a feature on detransitioners in the Sydney's Daily Telegraph yesterday. Basically, once they decide to transition, they're basically cast aside by the activists because they go against
the narrative.
They
don't serve any purpose anymore.
Yeah, the radical trans activists, they don't want any type of review because everything's perfect the way it is. And even a review, even a friendly review that's conceding to the Trump MAGA politics. And this is what our Premier Jacinta Allen said at the midsummer LGBTQA Pride Parade yesterday. We're in the middle of a heat wave here in Melbourne. Last year, they cancelled the Moomba Parade because it was too hot, but of course didn't cancel the Pride Parade or, of course, Lunar New Year celebration. So she told the media and she released a video on social media. She said, I say to any right-wing leader who wants to take their cues or take their notes from the MAGA movement in the USA that they have to come through me, through the Victorian government, and come through the Victorian community first, who very resoundingly stand in support of our LGBTQIA plus community. And we'll go even further than that. We'll fight for our LGBTQI community and also urged the Liberal opposition to pass their expansion to the state's vilification laws, which would see 5 years imprisonment for incitement to hatred for gender identity, sexual orientation, and sex. I'm not sure how sex and gender identity are supposed to be reconciled. She refused to entertain the question when she was asked about how many genders are there.
Well, there's only two, Tim.
Exactly.
It's a simple answer.
But even members of Peter Dutton's shadow ministry, such as Jane Hume, the shadow finance minister, she wouldn't give a straight answer for a while, just said, oh, it's not something I'm asked about. I'm focused on the cost of living. That's what constituents are telling me. But she eventually told the Sunrise presenter, Natalie Parr, that I'm only aware of two genders. So finally got it out of her.
Okay. All right. Here's a prediction. They're all finished on this issue. Okay. John Pesciuto. What happened to John Pesciuto in the end?
Well, we got a late Christmas present here in Victoria. So on the 27th of December, there was a Victorian Liberal Parliamentary Party Room meeting where we call it a leadership spill here in Australian politics. That means if a spill motion passes, then all the positions are declared vacant. So that passed. So John Pesciuto obviously didn't stand again. The leadership contest was between Brad Batten, Jess Wilson, and Chris Kreuther. Brad Batten was easily elected the new leader, and Sam Groth was elected his deputy. So David Southwick, who was one of those who ambushed Moira Deeming in that recording after the Let Women Speak, along with the upper house leader, Georgie Crozier, they're both gone as well. And Moira Deeming was readmitted to the Victorian Liberal Parliamentary Party Room. And John Pesciuto finally said sorry to Moira Deeming face to face, which, well, I'm sure the defamation judgment probably had a lot to do with that as well. So he's no longer leader and he's basically broke, facing bankruptcy.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy by the sounds of things.
No, he all did it to himself. And Brad Batten, he's enjoyed an excellent honeymoon as leader. Well, John Prosciutto was slightly ahead of Labor and Jacinta Ardern in the polls, but Brad Batten has opened up a 20-point primary lead against Labor. So the Liberal National Coalition, 42% primary, Labor is at 22%. So two-party preferred, because we have preferential voting, would be 55-45. We don't have a state election until November 2026. But if it was held today, it'd be, I'm not sure if it's called a Brad slide or a Batten slide, though he does obviously have to make it in the cut and thrust of the Victorian Parliament question time. He hasn't released any policy when it comes to, well, what Maura Deeming was basically expelled for, protecting women and girls. He said he wants to consult with his colleagues first. So
right,
that might take a little bit longer. But there are two state by-elections this Saturday, a sort of mini Super Saturday. The Paran by-election, which is in inner city Melbourne. So that was triggered by the resignation of the Greens member Sam Hibbins for a consensual affair with a staffer. So that'll be a Liberal Greens contest because Labor was too scared to field a candidate. And then there's the Werribee by-election out in Labor's Red Wall in the West. So that was triggered by the resignation of now former state treasurer Tim Pallas, aka Uncle Fester, because that's who he looks like from the Adams family. Yeah. He got Victoria the biggest state debt in Australia, $178 billion, it's projected to be by 2027-28. So he has resigned, and we'll see if there's a huge backlash because the Labor are contesting that. It's a Labor-Liberal contest. So if it's a really bad result for Labor, there could be questions about Jacinta Allen because her nickname is Socialist Barbie and her deputy Ben Carroll, who, if you've seen the Barbie movie, Ken sneaks in the back and then takes over Barbie World. I think he wants to take over the leadership of Jacinta Allen. If things go badly there, he's just, behind her, I think, waiting to, yes.
No, I didn't see the Barbie movie, but I think I understand the analogy. Australia Day, now that this year particularly was controversial. How did it go off in the end, and what are people saying about it?
It's not controversial. That is basically just a beat up by the media, parroted by still too many corporates and sporting clubs. I mean, all they need to do is just on Australia Day, three words, Happy Australia Day, not a huge statement about, causes hurt to First Nations people. One of the girlfriends of an Indigenous AFL footballer, Maurice Rioli Jr., said that it was so disgusting that a white Australian on Australia Day wished him a Happy Australia Day.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah, so, but in terms of public support, it has surged in the past couple of years, public support for Australia Day, particularly amongst the young, the 18 to 24-year-olds.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
I think that's why they want to ban social media for under 16s. They're getting too much red-pilled content. So the Albanese government this year, they were less down on Australia Day, but Peter Dutton has promised, if he's elected, to enshrine it in legislation, January 26, as Australia Day, stand in front of just one flag, the Australian flag. And he's also put Jacinta Price, the shadow Indigenous Australians minister who helped defeat The Voice, announced her in a cabinet reshuffle as also the shadow minister for government efficiencies, so Australian DOGE. She's already said she wants an audit of the $40 billion that's spent on Indigenous affairs every year. Peter Dutton has said
billion.
He wants to...
let's get our head around this. What is the Indigenous population? How big is the population? as a proportion of the overall population?
They're 3% of the Australian population, but that
just... Did you say 2%?
3%, but 3%. A lot of that 3% would have other ancestry as well, but you only have to have part Indigenous ancestry to tick the box on the government form to say you're of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander descent.
Right. And what, Australia population is what, about 27 million?
Yeah, 27 million and counting. It'll be interesting to see where this financial year's immigration figures get to. So Peter Dutton has also said that he wants local councils to hold citizenship ceremonies on Australia Day. But of course, this has been the other grievance of a lot of Australians, that there's too many new Australians coming in, contributing to the cost of living housing crisis. Though we did get some good news with inflation, 2.4% for the December quarter. So Anthony Albanese thinks he might get a bounce back in the polls because the Reserve Bank might give him a rate cut and then he can rush to an election, though there's still the WA Western Australian state election on March the 8th as well.
Yeah, but surely if people don't feel it materially in their pockets, what the figures say, you know, abstract figures of inflations at this point, and I take it there are some things that are not measured in coming to that figure. If they don't noticeable a material difference, it will mean nothing to them.
Oh, yeah, prices, they're not going to go down. They've gone up under the term of the Albanese government. I've mentioned bread went from $3.40 to $4.50. I don't think that's going to go back down to anything like $3.40. Electricity prices haven't risen as much because there are government subsidies. So basically, both state and federal governments have basically bought some short-term cooling.
But that's paid with taxes, which is usually borrowed money.
Exactly. Though the Albanese government, they have managed to pull off two surpluses. Though we've been in eight quarters. We're in a per capita recession. We've had an even greater decline in living standards than our previous three recessions. There was a Deloitte Access Economics report that's saying that Australia's living standards won't return to pre-pandemic levels until 2030. So the only long COVID that is around is in our living standards, thanks to the Australian protracted lockdowns, which at least that proved that they could control the borders when they wanted to, but apparently it's too hard now.
All right, anti-Semitic attacks. What's been happening there? We talked about some towards the end of last year. I understand there's more, and also laws that could come into effect to try and stamp that out.
Yes, yeah, so this all escalated wave of anti-Semitic attacks began on December 6th last year with the Adas Israel synagogue firebombing. So the Victoria Police said they were after three suspects. They still haven't found them.
Really?
Since then, most of the arson anti-Semitic attacks have occurred in Sydney. So there was a synagogue in Newtown in inner Sydney where there was an attempted fire bombing. And there was also a childcare centre which was firebombed in Ballara in southern Sydney, which was next to a Jewish school and a synagogue. So that seemed to be mistaken identity. And then the former home of the chief executive of the Australian Council of Australian Jewry, Alex Richkin, his former home in Dover Heights, some cars were firebombed and there was red paint on the front of his former home. So maybe somebody illegally accessed an old electoral roll. That's how they got his former address. Last week, it was revealed that it was actually kept secret for 10 days. So on January 19th, the caravan was found in Dural in Sydney's northwest, full of power gel explosives, which are used in the mining industry. It had actually been there for over a month on the side of the road. It had a list in it of Jewish targets and a note that said, F the Jews. So apparently these explosives could, the blast could be a radius of 40 metres, but no detonator was found. Now, New South Wales and Federal Police, they kept this secret because they wanted to investigate covertly because they revealed recently that they believe that these anti-Semitic attacks are being orchestrated from overseas by foreign actors paying local criminals and organised crime to carry out these anti-Semitic attacks. So we don't know who these foreign actors could be. They seem to be covering their tracks well, unlike the couple who was, they were called an arrest around the periphery of this. So one of the arrests was Tammy Faruga and her partner, Scott Marshall. And if you see a photo of them, they look like inbred bogans, hardly criminal masterminds. So they were already in custody, arrested for previous anti-Semitic vandalism. So Tammy on a Facebook group asked, "Got any jerry cans?" when allegedly she carried out a anti-Semitic vandalism in Woollahra and attempted to buy a caravan on TikTok.
I see. Okay. I'm just thinking, I mean, it's not good to have explosives and caravans on the side of the road with nasty notes, but with no detonator and sitting there for a month. I mean, you've got to ask, is that a prop? Is that just to alarm people?
It sounds like it was a setup or planted there. And even Andrew Bolt on Sky News, which is the most pro-Jewish news organisation in Australia, said that this looks sus.
It may not be, but it kind of feels that it might be.
So it's very clear that this is not radicalized Muslim youths from the Western suburbs. And it puts a dent in the narrative from organizations like Sky News and the Liberal opposition that it's Anthony Albanese not being tough enough on anti-Semitism, which is led to these attacks.
Okay. All right. And let's catch up with the National Socialist Network, a group we've talked about before. What have they been up to lately?
Well, in response to the Victorian and New South Wales governments promising even more strengthened anti-vilification and hate speech laws in response to these anti-Semitic attacks, even though they're being coordinated from overseas, so I don't know how curtailing on free speech here is supposed to prevent them. So one of the National Socialist Network's spokespeople, Joel Davis, held a rally outside of Victoria's Parliament House late last year with a sign that said "Jews hate freedom," and the Victoria Police hunted him down and arrested him and going to likely charge him with racial and religious vilification.
Sorry, just back up the truck. Not a nice thing to say, but it's hardly world ending.
Well, he believes that the fact that Victoria Police hunted him down is vindication of what he was saying.
Well, he kind of could make that argument. Yeah, I mean, I'm not justifying what was said, but, you know, we have to have some leeway for freedom of speech, even though some are disgusted by it.
Exactly. And there was 16 of them who were arrested in Adelaide on Australia Day. They weren't actually wearing face coverings that day. They wanted to gather in the Adelaide CBD. But, yeah, 16 of them were arrested for loitering. They were thrown in jail for 2 days before they could see a magistrate. And also for articles of disguise, which were not masks, face masks, they were hats and sunglasses. It was a hot Australia day.
Well, that's most people out in the weather.
Yeah, so your audience probably aware of the Streisand effect. This has just amplified their message, because in the past, when National Socialist Network have been left alone to just have a rally, make their speech, they're there for about 20 minutes, 30 hour, and then they move on. But the South Australian police decided, they probably got a directive from the Premier to shut them down and arrest them and throw them in prison.
Is there any evidence that their street theatre, let's call it that, is, you know, recruiting thousands of potential National Socialist Network supporters? Is there any evidence of that?
Well, interestingly, there was a undercover journalist who on Australia Day weekend published his account of his infiltration in the National Socialist Network. He said there was about 200 men nationwide. Obviously, such persecution is good for their propaganda. So many of their personalities, such as Joel Davis, Thomas Sewell and Blair Cottrell, although Blair Cottrell is not a member, have a large engagement on X and Telegram. Though there was an article in the Nine newspapers on Sunday, basically sort of saying that it's all Elon Musk's fault that they've been allowed to have all this reach on social media, mentions.
But they'd only be concerned, wouldn't they, Tim, the authorities or the establishment or the elites or whoever you want to look at, if they thought that this would be an attractive message to people? And clearly it's not. It's fringe, completely fringe.
It is, which is why my position is just let them do their rallies and
don't promote them.
Yeah, because it's basically playing into their propaganda. And I don't think Australia is on the cusp of a National Socialist Revolution. Certainly, I think why there is at least some sympathy for their activism is because of our government's failure to address mass migration and the fact that they are basically destroying our economy through a combination of things such as energy policy and red tape and
infrastructure expansion that's required.
So they're a reaction, and both parties, even though Peter Dutton said he wants to cut mass immigration a little bit, he was at Lunar New Year on the weekend, promised them $250,000 for their festival, and also was caught on a recording saying that he's going to allow foreigners to buy their way into Australia for $5 million. Well, he said he's going to bring back it's called the Golden Handshake, the special investor visa, speaking to a Chinese Australian migration agent. So he's basically saying to all of these migration agents, look, you know, it's still going to be business as usual. You can trust me as Prime Minister. I'm just sort of posturing when it comes to. Yeah, and now his ministers are talking about a recalibration of immigration. So he was in Lunar New Year in Box Hill, which is in Melbourne, because he wants to win the seat of Chisholm. Also in Sydney, wants to win the seat of Bennelong. So there are grievances of young Australians which are not being met, and that's why some are attracted to the extreme of the extremists.
Yeah. Fascinating. Great to catch up again, Tim. We'll do it again soon. In a fortnight, in fact. Tim Wilms from the unshackled.net in Melbourne.
Thank you, Paul.
From caps to tees and bags to bumper stickers, we have you covered. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.